Hello and welcome to On the Preds with me, your host, Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Sean Smith of A to Z Sports. We are here to talk about the Nashville Predators. And Sean, it is All-Star Week. We are not covering any Preds games because they're not playing any Preds games, are they?
They're not. Although we will get the opportunity to cover one very special All-Star near and dear to the Predators fan base, and that is UC Soros.
UC Soros, the Predators' only All-Star participant. He will be in Sunrise, Florida, doing all kinds of All-Star stuff. That will be this weekend. I think Friday is the All-Star game, and then or Friday's the skills, and then Saturday's the game. Is that right?
Maybe.
I'll double check that. But suffice it to say, the All-Star game has just gone down in terms of interest for me. I'm not sure if other people feel this way. Sometimes it's okay. I mean, like, I like the 3-on-3, but it also is just kind of it's all just one big gimmick. And
yeah,
All-Star games in general in sports are just not really draw me in. But we will still participate or still watch, I guess, in some ways.
It's all Saturday.
It's all Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. All the games.
Okay. So that is this Saturday. But that means the Predators are off. And so what we decided we would do, well, before we do that, the Predators won twice last week. You were at those games, right?
I was at those games. And wow, what an exciting week for the Predators. I'll tell you what. I covered the Saturday game, I covered the Tuesday game, I covered the Thursday game, and it was really something, I think, to go from kind of the atmosphere, I guess you could say, you know, not just in the locker room, but also, you know, around the arena. It was a lot more electric since they started winning. Of course, you know, the biggest, most exciting thing is that you had some guys scoring that hadn't been scoring, and I think that's really what kind of got people fired up, because you have, of course, we've talked about it before, the team meeting before the game on Saturday, and then you kind of see the results coming in from there. It's been a really nice change, I think, as you see a different product on the ice, and I don't know how in-depth you want to talk about the games, but the biggest thing I can say, and if you look at Thursday's game, which I believe, thinking back, was against the Devils, the Predators had a lot of breakaway chances, a lot of turnovers in the neutral zone with a lot of chances with one on none on that goalie. And what's funny is you hadn't really seen the Predators do that a lot this season, but I feel like it happened 5 or 6 times just over the course of that game. And if anything else, I mean, if you want to see a team that's really kind of changing the way they're playing, that's a pretty good sign that things are changing, as you start to see something that you hadn't seen much this season. And the biggest thing for me was those turnover chances and the breakaways.
It's crazy. I think the biggest takeaway for me from those two games, the 2-1 win over Winnipeg and the 6-4 win over New Jersey, is that the Predators actually kind of dominated both games.
Yeah.
I mean, I hesitate to say total domination, but because there were segments of the Winnipeg game that the Jets were kind of all over them, and then there were segments of the Devils game that the Devils played very well. But overall, in the end, the Predators like won the goal battle, obviously. They won the shot battle, shot attempts, expected goals, special teams. Like, it was all pretty good. I mean, there wasn't a ton of holes to pick in the Predators games for those two games. So that's good. I mean, two really solid performances.
Yeah.
Now they have a week off. You know, we'll see if they return with the same fervor, but against Vegas on the 7th. But
they haven't done well after breaks. So that's what makes me nervous. But they've had a different attitude since their come to Jesus meeting on Saturday. So
what we thought we'd do, instead of breaking down anything from this week or talking specifically about the team, since they're on a break, is we would do some Twitter Q&A. So I threw out a prompt for some questions yesterday. Yeah. And we got several participants. We got several questions coming in. We got a lot to cover here. We'll try to get to as many as we can. And there are some that, you know, there's obviously some overlap, but we'll do our best to cover these. Okay. So And we also talked about, we also promised that we would analyze people's Twitter names and
avatars. Yes. Now, it has been brought up that some people have asked to be roasted. And you said that you was intending this to be a roast-free zone. So I'll say that we won't roast anybody unless they specifically asked for it.
Right, right. We're not trying to roast people here.
No.
Only trying to encourage and to lift up.
Yeah.
Let's start with Shag Daddy.
Okay.
At Grumpy Ol' Shag. And this person, and we'll get to the analyzing of the name and the Twitter avatar in a second, but good question here, because the question is Cody Glass, Tanner Janot, Dante Fabro, Alex Kyrier are all restricted free agents at the end of the season, and Cole Smith and Jankowski are unrestricted free agents at the end of the season. Which players will not be on the roster next year, and what will the contracts of those that stay look like?
Mm.
So there's a lot there, but I think it's a good starting place, because there's you know, potentially a good amount of change coming in next year.
Yeah.
Let's start with the unrestricted free agents, Cole Smith and Mark Jankowski. I think that neither one of those players will be back next year. What do you think?
You know, I've noticed that Jankowski hasn't played since he had that late double minor. And to be honest, you know, if that's the kind of thing that he's getting sat for, I mean, he has shown pretty decent flashes of offensive ability, but if that's what's going to get him sat, then that's also going to get him not re-signed. That's kind of my take on that.
I found out something interesting. This is just about Mark Jankowski, little factoid about him.
Okay.
His great uncle was the great Red Kelly. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. I want to say that when they signed that contract with him, they put that in the press release, and I thought it was kind of cool. I may have mentioned it on Twitter or maybe in an article. I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, cool. I did know that. Okay. Thought that was really interesting, though, because they're like, oh, he's basically hockey royalty. And I'm like, wow, how is that? And, you know.
I don't think that's why they will sign him. I also don't think that's why they will not sign him. I think it has nothing to do with any of this. I just thought I'd throw it in there. But
It's interesting.
I don't think Mark Jankowski will be back, just because there's too many forwards at that sort of level that are just all kind of in the same spot right now.
Right.
And with the progress of Cody Glass, of Jakob Trenin, of, I guess you could say, Yusuf Parsons, even though the two of those guys are centers, I think there's probably not going to be a lot of room for someone like Jankowski. You know, but if he does return, it'll be like the minimum, like 800,000, like nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. So probably he might want to try to go somewhere else anyways.
Yeah.
And then Cole Smith, I just kind of think it's not going to happen next year.
You're probably right.
There's a whole thing with Cole Smith that no one really understands, and that I don't truly understand either. And as Sean gets taken off of the planet Earth, that is loud. That's very loud. We'll have you mute, and I'll just talk for a second. So let's talk about these elements, these RFAs. Sorry, Sean is having some work done on his house, and I guess 9 o'clock on a Monday night is prime working hours. So, all right, I think 100% Cody Glass, Tanner Janot. What was the other list? I think 100% Cody Glass, Tanner Janot, and one of Fabro or Kyrier will be back next year. I think Cody Glass will get definitely get a pay raise, but it just kind of depends, you know. Do they want to try to get like the old bridge contract? He's 23 years old. He still has time left as an RFA. Maybe he wants to bridge, so that he gets one final, or so that he can cash out when he's finally done with his RFA years. Or maybe the Predators want to give him a lot of money in the short run just to see if he can prove it contract, so to speak. Tanner Janot is an interesting one, because I think Tanner could be in for a rude awakening. This year has not been kind to him, and I think he could probably not make as much money as we thought. Last year, I would have pegged him no brainer.
He would definitely
make a minimum of $3 million a year. just what yep. he brings, maybe even more. I think he's lost some. I think he could be looking at something like 2.5, maybe max out at 3. He could have pushed 4 if he had had a similar year this year. $4 million a year AAV with several years on there. But that's just kind of what I think. So I think Cody Glass would be something a little above that, probably like 3 or 4 per year. And then Tanner Jeannot, less than that. Favreau and Carrier. I don't think both of them are back. I think Carrier is going to be back. I think Favreau will be gone. Whether they trade him or trade his rights, they owe it, they have to pay him $2.4 million as a qualifying offer. So you're looking at Glass, yes. Jeannot, yes. Favreau, no. Alex Carrier, yes. Cole Smith, no. Mark Jankowski, no. What do you think?
I probably agree with you on that. And I think the biggest thing, and just to add about Jeannot, is that despite the fact that fans love him and people talk about, for example, and I don't mean to go into this discourse again, but people talk about Cole Smith getting a really long leash from John Hines. Tanner Jeannot has a really long leash with fans. And I think it's interesting because as much as fans love him, the on-ice results haven't been there this season. And so all of the things that everybody loved about Jeannot from last season, most of them are carrying over except for the production. And that's where I think, you know, okay, he still does a lot of the things you want him to do, but that production's dropped off the face of the earth. I mean, it's nowhere near what it was. And I think he's on pace for maybe 10 goals because he has 5, right?
Sounds about right.
He's on pace for 10, and he was in the mid, I think 24 last season. I mean, and that's...
He just scored one, so it's like he was barely there.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's a different world. And if you want to talk about, okay, here's a guy that can do it all, you can't have that conversation anymore unless things turn around, because you have that one season which apparently is an offensive anomaly, followed up by this season, which is this a return to the mean, or is this just, you know, way below what he should be? It's, you really don't know. And so with all those questions, I don't think you feel confident with a long-term contract or B, a high AAV contract either. So
right,
I agree with you everywhere else, and I agree with Jeannot. I just wanted to add that in because
speaking of Jeannot, let's talk about Grumpy Old Shag's Twitter profile picture. I'm assuming you know what that picture is. Can you see it?
With the actual avatar?
Yeah.
That is. Yeah. Is that Jeannot and is that Letang?
Yeah, that is from probably one of the biggest highlights of last year, definitely for Jeannot, and maybe of the whole season, was Tanner Jeannot's monster hit on Chris Letang against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. I mean, that was like, I put a video of that one. It did really well. that was one of the biggest hits that I've ever seen. Open ice just destroyed him. That was an amazing hit. So, extremely good taste in the profile picture, Shag Daddy, and good, solid name. I would give the name a B+.
I like it.
So
I like it.
Let's move on to
okay.
Okay, let's get into these kind of questions. Let's get into some trade talks.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find. Let's go with Boyd. So Boyd asks. And this is a good place to start, and this will get the trade situation going. Boyd, 12-12, for the sake of argument, you're trading a first-round pick this year. So he's set the stage. He's telling us that let's assume that the Predators trade a first-round pick and are trying to buy at the deadline. Obviously, I think most people would think that's not going to happen, but I think Boyd knows that too. He's just presenting a hypothetical. If you trade a first-round pick, are you trying to shore up your not very good defense, or are you enhancing and improving offense and going all gas, no brakes? I would think that if they were to trade a first-round pick, they need to get more offense. But I could see the defense too, because the Predators' defense really does still have issues. I mean, like there's still something wrong going on the defensive end. If you look analytically, like what they're allowing, but I just don't see, I think you would not be able to come away with the trading a first round pick and not getting some sort of offense to add goals to the board. Like that's still a major need.
You got to have something. I think as much as I'd like to say, you know, you could use that to really shore up the defense, but the defense, and I think it's, again, until I did the research that I did for the LinkedIn article I just put out last week, I was really still kind of laboring under the impression that, that Lankinen was having a better season because the Predators were playing better defensively in front of him than the Blackhawks did. And that is like, not the case.
It's like the opposite, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite a bit worse. And when you think about what those Blackhawks teams were, it's shocking. And you find out that the reason the Preds are doing as well as they're doing is because Saros and Lankinen are having incredible seasons.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can shore up the defense enough with that. You could go after and get a good scoring piece. There's a kid, I think, I'm not even going to say it. This kid over in Seattle might be worth looking at. Maybe you've heard of him before.
Yeah. They need a good power play specialist with a good lethal shot.
Yeah. Somebody the fans can get behind.
Right. Oh, someone Finnish, maybe. They've had luck with good Finnish scorers in the past. Or Finnish players.
Yeah. Definitely a Finn.
So there we go. Boyd, thank you. Your Twitter, Avi, I think you've had that that avatar for a while. I don't think much has changed, but solid, really up close shot, some sort of hat on. And
maybe even backwards.
Maybe even backwards, and then some facial hair going on. That's good too. Very solid. Boyd's been a long time Twitter presence, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I see his tweets a lot. And
I do too. I've met him in person and talked to him several times. Oh, he's a very nice guy. Yeah.
All right.
Like him
a lot.
Well,
there you go. Solid. Thank you, Boyd. All right. So let's go to the next one. This is along the same lines. This is coming from Brad D. Pro. Brad Pro. Now, we're going to have to get into some discussion about this avatar situation with Brad D. Pro. But his question is, any thoughts on who the Pred scouts may have been checking out at the Senators Leafs game? So this gets into the fun old game of who's scouting who and what are these, the scout game. Oh, Nashville has a scout at the Leafs game. Who are they looking at?
Yeah.
So I think this may, I don't know when this happened, but I think this might have been during the discussion of, you know, might the Predators be interested in trading Dante Fabbro? The Alex Carrier injury does complicate that, although,
yeah,
you know, he might be back sooner rather than later. We don't know how long he's really going to be out. But, like, I think that if they were going to trade Dante Fabbro to the Leafs, I was looking at their situation. I don't know exactly who they might have been interested in. I do think this. When scouts go to games, they really aren't only looking at one player. I mean, they're looking at the whole thing. Like they're just checking out the whole situation. But, you know, everything from, you know, William and Nylander seems to always be on the
radar.
Right. With Maple Leafs fans, at least, as I can tell. Not that the Predators would necessarily be involved in that. He's got a high price tag, but they do need offense. So maybe there's some situation where they got a trade and there's some money exchanging hands. But another option might be, and I don't know why this would happen, but Timothy Liljegren, Swedish defenseman, he has been mentioned in trade talks before. But I don't really understand why they would do that. I don't know why they would trade Fabbro for Liljegren, because they're like kind of the same player, and Liljegren signed a little bit longer and cheaper. So I don't know why Toronto would do that. I think I know why Nashville would do that. But so maybe they throw in a pick in there somewhere. I don't know. Those are the only two players I can think of.
Yeah, and just to add, when you see a scout at a game, like, and this is just from spending a lot of time up in the press box, sometimes scouts live there in that city and they go to the games there to just look at players and see what's going on. They could be scouting, you know, okay, so the Predators send a scout to this game against these two teams. The Preds are going to be playing those two teams soon. So they may just be looking at that, but it's very rare that I've seen, and I don't actually get seated next to the scouts anymore like I used to. But if you recall back when Craig Smith was still with the team and it was looking like they might go the route of being sellers at the trade deadline. I remember sitting next to a scout from Tampa Bay, and he was exclusively watching Craig Smith and taking all kinds of notes on Craig Smith. But that's one time I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, I think the Avalanche have a scout at pretty much every Preds game because he lives here and they're a division rival. So, I mean, you know, that's sometimes you just see that. Sometimes you need to, let's get a good look. We got a guy up there. Let's see what they can make of these two teams that we might see later in the season or something like that. So, a scout at the game, it becomes very exciting as you get closer to the trade deadline, but it doesn't always mean what you like. If I was going to say, oh, the Avalanche have a scout at the Preds game tonight, they have a scout at the Preds game every night, pretty much. So that wouldn't really be earth-shattering news.
Right. On the Twitter handles front, Brad D. Pro, I don't really know what that means. I guess like a first and last name kind of thing. And then he's got a Twitter egg for a picture.
Yeah.
So I can't really give you anything. You have made a Twitter avatar picture available. All we see is the default. So
yeah,
zero opinion. Okay. Let's go to Raging Honky.
Oh, where's that one?
Raging Honky. Lindsay Kyle Male C1. And that question is, it appears Nashville has three solid centers for the future, Parson and Novak and Glass, not to mention Zach LaRue and Svechkov in the pipeline. I kind of think LaRue might be more of a wing, but maybe he's a center. Do you think it's time to move on from Ryan Johansson and Mikael Granlund, to open up top six spots for Tomasino, Evangelista, and Igor Afanasyev? I think it's time. Okay, so there's a lot there. I think essentially the question is, I'm going to focus on the first part of the question, the center pipeline, because I think he threw in the Tomasino, Evangelista stuff. That's kind of different. But the center pipeline right now, as I see it, is actually kind of clear. I think it's pretty clear where they're going with this. And that is, and this is why I think they're not going to trade Ryan Johansson because of the contract, but I think overall they do like what Ryan Johansson brings to the team, even if he's not getting the $8 million a year in value. I think his sort of leadership and his like sort of presence in the room as an ability to bring along younger players is probably more value than people think.
Right.
And so Ryan Johansson signed through 2025, sorry. So he'll be 32. So like they've got three more years, including this one, of Ryan Johansson. If you think about it, like Ryan Johansson is kind of just this running thread from the beginning of these guys' career to where they will be in 3 years. And in 3 years, presumably they'll be ready to move on from Ryan Johansson and be able to do everything themselves. That's a really good amount of time to have the four of them kind of work together. Johansson will not be the top line center at that point, but like, you know, probably by this time next year, he's like definitely not going to be. It'll be Glass. It'll be Parsonen, maybe Novak, maybe Tomasino, maybe someone else. And Mikael Granlund is just not really a center anymore. I mean, he plays that position sometimes, but he really is just more of a wing. And I just don't see him playing that traditional center role. Whereas I do see Glass, Parson, and Novak doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. And I think, too, you know, the recent comments in the locker room about the meeting, we keep going back to this meeting. you had Roman Josi, you had Matt Duchene, you had John Hines all talk specifically about Johansson's leadership. And I think that, you know, he doesn't have an A on his jersey anymore, but clearly he's very well respected in the locker room, and they still put a lot of stock in who he is as a player and who he is as a personality and a voice in the locker room. So I'm not sure they're number one. That would be a hard contract to trade right now, I think. Number two, I don't think they're ready to move on from him. He does get stuff done on the ice. I mean, it's not like he's just dropped off the face of the earth or anything.
Yeah.
So, I don't think they're ready to move on from him.
his production is down, is, you know, not where you'd want an $8 million center. But I also think between those two, I think Johansson is just makes more sense to be around. And yeah, they're not going to trade it. They're not going to buy it out. That would be way too painful. But the Granlund one, like, I mean, he's signed through, just double check that. Granlund is signed through the same year. So they have Granlund throughout that year, but I think that would be more likely. You could probably be more likely to trade that one.
Cause I think
five,
I think that's a movable contract, but I don't know if it's movable right now, but it's,
but also, contract. Also Granlund is not a center.
Also true.
He doesn't really play center anymore. You know, he can take faceoffs from time to time, but he doesn't play that role. I mean, I think it's pretty much going to be moving forward, Glass, Parson, and Novak. And that's really good for the Predators because, like, that's a 23-year-old, a 25-year-old, and a – is that right? Is Novak 25? I think so. Yeah, 25, and then a 21-year-old in Parson. So yeah. – Pretty amazing youth movement down the middle. I mean, that's really good. The person also asked about, who was it? Raging Honky asked about Tomasino, Evangelista, Igor. I've already said, Tomasino needs to be on this roster. Doesn't make any sense why he's not. He needs to be up. Evangelista and Igor Afanasyev, no. They don't need to wait. They don't need to come up right now. They've got time for them. Evangelista needs to be a scoring winger that can really play offense at a high level. But he's not there yet, so bring him up next year.
I'm with you on that, and I'd say too. Are we going to get into the analysis piece here?
Of what?
Of the handles and the pictures.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because let me just say, it's not necessarily the profile picture here, but the header picture. Pretty sweet Jeep that this fella has. I'll tell you that. I like it a lot. Is it?
Okay. All right.
Cool looking Jeep. And I'm going to say, I'm pretty sure he's rocking the mullet, or at least he's just got longer hair combed back in that hat. Gotta respect it.
Yeah.
Mullet's back, cool. Alex.
Mullet's back.
Yeah. Big time.
Raging Honky. That's just a really funny name. That's great. Keep it.
I like the way it's spelled as if to make you really say honky.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's important. Okay, before we move on, let's go to talk about our good friends at Relax the Back. You didn't think did you think we forgot about Relax the Back? I know I didn't, because I want to live better, feel better, and sleep better every day. And so if I do want to do all those things, I want to check out Relax the Back, because I know they've got customized comfort options for everything you need, for the office, for relaxing at home, for sleeping at night, all of it right there in the store at 2020 Glen Echo Road. They have ergonomic office chairs, these zero gravity chairs that you sit in them, you pull the lever, you move back into this really relaxed position, you'll fall asleep within 15 minutes, all just perfect for getting your spine in the correct position, because that's what it's all about. You've got to get your spine in the right position so you don't have that pain anymore. You don't have that stress and that gravity weight pulling down on your spine causing all that pain. They've also got quality recovery options, like if you've been injured or if you're recovering from a workout, massage chairs, recliners. If you're watching this on YouTube, look at the screen. I'm showing you some awesome stuff, some really cool massage chairs, high-tech stuff right there. They've also got the Technogel and the Tempur-Pedic beds with the wedge systems and the automatic thing where you go up and down. I don't know the technical term, but you know what I'm talking about. All of it is just incredible right there in the store. You got to check it out. You just got to walk in. 2020 Glen Echo Road, right there in Green Hills. Go in there and talk to Glenn. He owns the store. He's a sleep agent. He can tell you everything you need to know about how to make your pain go away and relax your back. So go there and talk to him about the four pillars of wellness: healthy sleep, healthy body, healthy work, and healthy mind. Okay. Let's talk about the next question.
Okay.
And I wanted to pull up. I've lost the thing of questions. Do you want to go to the one that you had on yours? Is that relevant?
It's yeah, I think we could cover that. We haven't really talked about this side of things. So the question is, if Poile decided to trade Saros for one current NHL forward, not a package, I think it's, you know, one for one. We're trading Saros to someone and getting someone back straight up. What would be an equitable trade? What could you get? What could you get for a gently used UC Saros on the open market?
I love this question. This is a great question.
Now he said he's saying he wants to express he's not hoping for Saros to be traded.
No, I got it.
But like any good GM, he's curious what a comparable forward is for him, and he's guessing that Draisaitl is too much.
Draisaitl will be too much. That'll be too much. But let's think about this. So like, goaltenders are the most important thing in the league. I mean, there's a lot of teams that would do this, and he's signed 3 more years at $5 million per. It's a great contract.
Great deal.
He's a great goalie. He's got a perfect age. You could get more than you would think out of this. Let's take a look at some options. Now, this is obviously not people that – or this is not these are not players I think are possibly going to get traded, right? These are not like people who are on the trade block right now, right? We're just going on like value.
Yeah.
So we're looking at some players who might be signed beyond just this year, who are really solid players that could contribute, and maybe ones that are not too old, because Sidney Crosby's not in the mix because like he's 34. Well, yeah, probably not that. I'm doing this on the fly, so I'm just kind of throwing this out there. I could see. Is that too much? What's he signed for? I could see a Mikko Rantanen.
Okay, yeah,
that's level good. That level player. I mean, like, so Mikko Rantanen signed for 3 more years. He has a modified no trade clause. $9 million a year player. A $9 million a year goalie that is that good would be like the comparable thing. So I think that would be a good one. Let's see what else. Kaprizov is too young and too good for too long. So I think that's probably too much. Maybe Kevin Fiala.
Hey,
that'll be a good one. Kevin Fiala.
Heard of that guy before.
Not Jason Robertson. Tarasenko. You probably get more than Tarasenko, honestly.
At this late stage, Tarasenko, yes.
I think Rantanen is the ceiling. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Because I look at some of these other names. I mean, like Austin Matthews, no.
No.
Mitch Marner, no. Jack Eichel, probably not. Johnny Gaudreau, no. Matthew Tkachuk, I could maybe see that. Matthew Tkachuk. Yeah, I could see that. Matthew Tkachuk, Mikko Rantanen. All right.
I'm with you on that. All right. This guy's name is John Drury. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right or not. That's one of those words that's hard to say because of the multiple R's. It's Drury. And I think it's just John Drury 3, which I think is probably his name.
And, oh, this is John. John's great. John's a great guy. I've seen I've interacted with him on Twitter before. He's a good guy.
Yeah. And if you're looking at his, says he's a, this is pertinent here because he's a retired shrimp monger and veggie farmer. And I believe he's wearing a shirt in this picture that says Farmy in the style of Army, which you know, farmers cool. are the backbone of our nation, Alex. I don't know that if you cool. knew that or not. And I always got to support the farmers, of course, that farming in my family a few generations back. So I know how laborious that job can be, but tell you what, the benefits that come out of that really benefit the entire country. It's what makes our nation great, Alex. So big props to this guy for being proud of the fact that he's spent some time in the agriculture industry.
Good deal. Yeah. Good one. That was a good one.
I like that.
Okay. So this should be a quick one. At Strange Purse, Strange Reluctant Hockey Enjoyer. Asks, with the Subban tribute coming up, what are your favorite Subban moments, both on and off the ice? This might take just a second, but because there are a lot. I mean, I think my favorite Subban moment was just the first goal that he scored in Nashville that first night. It was such an electric moment. I mean, like, it was against Chicago. The place was packed. Everyone was excited to see this guy, and he just has this monster of a slap shot go in, and he does the celebration. And it was just like, it was awesome. It was a really cool moment. That might be my on ice. If you want to give your on ice moment, I'll think of an off ice moment.
Okay. I think my favorite on ice moment, and it's funny because it wasn't, I think it speaks to his personality and his character, but I don't remember what it may have been, Stanley Cup. I don't remember when, but at some point, or it may have been in the playoffs the next season, but it was coming down to, I think there was a face-off in the Preds, in the offensive zone. Like, they were in their zone. They won the face-off. No, maybe it was the other way. I think they were up. They were trying to get the puck out of their zone and get it away. And he demanded to be put in to take the face-off and said, let me win this face-off and get this puck out of here. And it was kind of, you know, when he went in, did exactly what he said he was going to do. And I want to say they ended up, maybe the game was tied and that got them into overtime. I don't remember what the result was, but I think, you know, when you needed a guy on your team who was like, hey, I'm going to go out and do the hard thing that nobody wants to do, he was the guy that was willing to step up and do it. And I appreciate that. I like that. But that was cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of.
Also what? Liked his red line goal. Remember the red line goal?
Yes. Yes, I did.
That was cool. It wasn't that, you know, wasn't as impactful, but it was still kind of like, he's like, I don't even know that was going to go in. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Off ice moments, there are a lot of them. I remember I don't know. There's almost too many, but like I do think one was the moment where there was a youth hockey player that had experienced some racism, had racist comments thrown at him. And he like basically just came off the ice from practice and like filmed this little thing. And it went everywhere. So I remember that one. And I also remember I got to interview his dad. So his dad, Carl Subban, wrote a book. I think it's called like How We Did It or something.
I think so.
Which is a funny name for a book. But anyways, it was just about him raising his kids to play hockey. And it was a cool book. So it was a cool book and got to interview him for a previous podcast I was hosting. And that was fun. So not really a Subban moment, but a Subban's dad moment. His dad's very fun. So
it's called How We Did It, the Subban Plan for Success in Hockey, School, and Life.
There you go.
My favorite, and yeah, there are a lot of off ice moments, I think, with Subban. I think that's what made him such a unique player for Nashville, is you don't have a ton of guys that provide off ice moments. Everybody pretty much, you know, tries to keep their head down and go to work, but Subban was willing to put himself out there. And I think one of the things that I really enjoyed back when I was first starting with on the forecheck, right after you hired me, they were doing like a community day before the 2017 season started. And I went out to go to some of the events. And one of them was he was serving Italian ice at an Italian ice place in Nolensville. And that ended up being the, you know, strangely, it's like, okay, I'm going to go out representing this website for the first time. Maybe talk to some players, you know, who knows what will happen. And that's ends up being the first player I ever spoke to in an official capacity was PK Subban. And it wasn't anything crazy. Like, I didn't really know what the heck I was doing yet. I was like, I'm just here. Don't know if I'm going to talk to anybody, but they're like, oh yeah, sure. We'll grab him when he's done and you can talk to him all you want. And it was just, I felt very out of my league. You know, it's like you go from, this is my first official capacity, anything. And you don't just get to talk to a player. You get to talk to the player, you know. It was really cool. And he was very, just like he appears to be. He's very friendly. He's very outgoing. Went out of his way to make me feel comfortable. You know what I mean? So just, that was fun. I really enjoyed that. And that's one of my big memories with him, is just that's the first guy that I really got to talk to as a hockey reporter. So,
all right, we're going to hit some of these pretty quick. I want to try to get a couple more in before we're done. One is Virgil Trucks. There's no dominant team in the wild card this year. What is General Manager David Poile going to do to ensure a team ensure the team has a chance at a deep postseason run? I do not think that they're going to be buyers, if that's what you're asking. I don't think they're going to buy at the deadline, at least not much. Part two, the team has a good mix of experience and young players. I agree with that. Would David Poile give up, say, a second-round pick for help at the trade deadline? Oh, would he trade a second round? Yeah, I mean, I think he's done that before, the last year. I don't think they're going to do much at the deadline. I don't think there's going to be much activity.
No,
but
I don't think so either.
They do have a number of picks. I was looking at this a second ago. They do have two third round picks and 2 fourth round picks. And that one of their third round picks is the Sharks pick that they got in the Luke Cunningham trade. That's going to be a pretty high third round pick. So that's like almost a second round pick. So that's a good one. So they might keep that one and trade their other one.
Yeah.
Just, you know, something to consider. Maybe they could do that. Oh, go ahead.
I'm just saying you'd end up with something comparable, I think, is, you know, you'd lose that pick, but then you'd get another pick. You'd have another pick to spare. So it kind of worked. You kind of even out. That's all.
Right. Virgil Trucks has I'm not sure what's going on in his Twitter picture.
It's the Rat Pack.
Oh, I see that now. I see that.
Yeah.
Now. I thought it said E-Rat something, like Martin E-Rat.
The E-Rat Pack. Maybe he's photoshopped in on the part we can't see.
That's not Martin E-Rat, I don't think. you're right. That's definitely the Brad Pack thing. Okay, another one quickly. Justin Trapp, for the same reasons many levied against the front office for playing Smith over Tolvanen, can the same not be asked for Tomasino? At what point did they call him up and play on Parsons' wing? Yes, Justin, that is a criticism many have levied on David Poile for that. He's been asked about it many times, and he said he'll be up soon. There's no timetable for that. Interesting. I don't know that we would play on Parsons' wing. Maybe. I think they want to play him in the top six, like with a Forsberg or with a Granlund or with a Johansson or a skilled player. I think that's the reason he's down there, is they wanted to play him in top six and they didn't think he was ready for it. So,
yeah. And if they do think he's ready for it, Alex, that's where you could maybe potentially see them trading someone away. If they could trade someone like Granlund away and then bringing Tomasino in and maybe shoring up, you know, shoring up the blue line a little bit. But again, I don't think you're going to see a lot.
Yeah. Justin Trapp, your header photo is great. Big fan of the header photo.
I like the I do see it. I also like the clear frame glasses.
Yes.
That's a fun look that I can't pull off. But
let's go into some we've got all the serious questions. Not all the serious. We didn't get to everyone, but let's get to some other questions real quick.
Okay.
First of all, should we talk about old Brian here?
Oh yeah, he requested specifically.
So Brian wants us to talk about let's answer the question. I think UCR is being overused, especially since Kevin Lankin's doing well. I don't think he's being overused. I think, you know, as long as you're not putting him on a back-to-back, which you should never do, I think he's fine.
Yeah, it's funny. I think you've got, for so long, you had Pecorine and UC Saros as your 1A, 1B. I think a lot of people are used to that you could kind of start either guy on any given night and you'd probably be okay. You really saw last season with David Rittich what happens when you don't have a 1B, when you have just a straight-up backup goaltender. It's not pretty. It's not fun. Nobody liked it. Nobody had a good time. Lankinen's doing well, but the research that I did for my Kevin Lankinen article suggests that perhaps playing Lankinen less is one of the keys to his success. So I would say he's fine. He's on pace to play about a quarter of the games, which is fine. I think that's okay. It still lightens Saros's load quite a bit. So, and they have a chance to win when he's in net. So I think it's okay.
Let's talk about Brian's photo here.
Oh, man.
What's going on? So it kind of appears to me as if Brian is in a, like, a noir detective film. Like, yeah, he's in some sort of fanfic of, like, he's got to solve the case, but first he's got to crush this crippling gambling debt that he has with the card sharks across the street.
Yeah.
And so he's deciding whether or not he needs to take out another loan or if he needs to solve the case. But then in the end, it turns out that the case was solved because the card shark people are the ones that were behind it to begin with. And so now he's got to kill the card shark guy in the back alley because that's the only way he's going to get out of it. And he's got to decide whether he's true to the law or he's true to himself. That's kind of what I see.
Did you just come up with that? Or had you been thinking about that? That's really in depth. And I kind of want to see how this plays out. Like, do you have
That's the story I see in Brian's photo right now.
Do you have like the first act worked up on this?
Because I think we could probably get a deal going. Yeah, that's kind of the idea. That's the working title. It's called Museum. That's what it's called.
Oh, I see why. Because he's in front of the museum.
Right.
I thought maybe that Brian had been kicked out of the museum and he was really proud of himself for whatever he pulled off in there. And that's why he's got that smirk on his face.
Oh, he got kicked out of the museum.
There's a lot of fun you can have in a museum. Things you can steal, stuff you can mess up. Not that I've ever done any of that. But a lot of cool stuff to do in a museum. Just saying.
Let's finish up with one final question. And this one's an easy one.
Oh.
And it comes from our good friend, House Cats.
Oh.
He says, I have no question, but I would love analysis of my Twitter Avi handle. If you must ask a question or must have a question, then what is your favorite shape of chicken nugget?
Now, I noticed that he doesn't ask what's your favorite shape of chicken McNugget. So we're not talking about the boot and the bell and all that jazz.
I'm a big fan of the Chick-fil-A boulder, like the boulder shape, where it's just like a chicken rock.
It's a nugget.
It's not a nugget. Real, it's a big, giant rock of chicken.
I'm thinking like a nugget of gold, except it's a nugget of chicken.
Exactly.
Just a real big nug.
I'm a big fan of the nug, of the chicken nug, and that's the kind I'm a fan of. Go ahead. What's yours?
I was saying my favorite shape of chicken nugget is dinosaur.
That's what someone else said. Dinosaur. That's a good one.
I mean, it's there. You know, I think someone who grew up on not a lot of chicken nuggets, because they hadn't been invented yet. That's what I mean. for a while, they did come in a little bit later in my childhood, but they were kind of new. I remember that experience. Here's the thing, Alex. Had they been dinosaur shaped, I'd be a different person today.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know it was that important. I think so. His thing says Dr. Mr. Professor House Cats. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before. House Cats is Pred's Twitter fan of the year. Like for the
every year,
pretty much owns the pro trophy, right?
Yeah.
And the avatar, I think, is perfect in every way. Change it.
I think what I like about the avatar is that, you know, let me just say this: on the way to work every day, there's a house that we pass, and it's got a big cutout, maybe 7 feet tall, of Bigfoot. Some say he's not real. I call those people dirty, godless liars, but still, they dress it up for all the holidays, you know? So like Christmas, he was wearing like a Christmas tree hat. Halloween, he was going trick or treating, had a costume on. Summer, he's wearing shorts. You can do the same thing here. You know, you need a doctor, professor, mister. Well, look, now he's got glasses on. You need a house cats with a red bow tie. Boom, he's wearing a red bow tie. What more could you want in, yeah, a, in an avatar here? I don't think there's much more you could want. And I think one of my favorite house cats memories, I'll tell you, is during the COVID season when they, you could pay to have your cardboard fan cut out there at Bridgestone Arena. And yeah, there was definitely one of house cats. He was up by the band for a while, and then he got put in the animal area with all the pets, which is really just a downgrade. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's funny.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to finish up our Twitter questions, man. That was a lot of them. Really good. We didn't get to everybody, but we had a lot of people participate. Really appreciate that. A couple people I did reply directly. If we weren't able to answer your question there, or try to reply, but really appreciate it. Thank you very much to everyone for doing that. And no Preds games this week. All out of Preds games. There are none in stock. Just an All-Star game this Saturday with UC Soros, and that's it. And then the Predators don't play again until the following Thursday. Yeah. Against Vegas. Yeah.
It's a while.
So until then, you can check out all of our Preds coverage at AtoZSports.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter at AlexDarty1. Follow Sean on Twitter at SCSNSH. And until then, we'll see you next time.